Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Tet. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah at the bottom of Tzadik Chet Amud Beit. So going on with the same kind of issues that we were concerned about until now, which is the question of whether there's a possibility that you may come to be metaltel, and where it is that we're going to be a little bit makel on this kind of thing because of the Kedusha of a Sefer and so on. We move on to the general question of, would you be allowed to be standing in one rishos and moving something in another rishos? This is standing up on a roof and you're moving things down at the bottom of the street or something like that. So, omeid adam b'rishot hayachid, umetaltel b'rishot harabim, or b'rishot harabim, umetaltel b'rishot hayachid, b'vat shelo yotzi chutz mi'arba amot. So even though we have a concern, as we've seen, that about things that might fall that you need into a different rishos, and you might go and bring them back. However, we are not concerned that just because you're moving something in one rishos, that you're going to pick it up and bring it in into the rishos in which you're standing. It doesn't matter whether you're standing in rishos hayachid, you're moving something in rishos harabim, or vice versa. Now, the other issue that we would have is, what about if you urinate from one rishos to another? So then you're basically taking urine, or you spit from one rishos to another. So you're taking body fluids from one rishos and you're pouring them into another rishos. What would be the halacha? Lo yamod adam b'rishut hayachid v'yashtin b'rishut harabim v'yashtin b'rishut hayachid. There too, you have to be careful, and the mashmaut is, which we'll discuss in a moment, that it would be regular hotza'ah. Because it doesn't matter whether you're motzi chefetz, you're motzi liquid, or you're motzi body fluid, it's all the same. V'chein lo yarok, and you shouldn't spit from one rishos into the other. Rabbi Yehuda says, forget about spitting from one rishos into the other. Even if you are standing in the rishos harabim, and you now are, you have the saliva in your mouth that you are ready to spit out, then the moment that it was nitlash roko bepiv, it's not just sitting there along the edges of your gum and so on, you can't walk four amos in the rishos harabim unless you spit it out first. Because otherwise, we consider that saliva to be a masa, like anything else. The same way we're saying you're not allowed to take body fluids from one rishos to another, you wouldn't be able to even have a fluid in your mouth once it's ready, once it's already not just bottle to the edges of your mouth, you wouldn't be able to walk along. So now, Masil Reb Chanina Bashami Alechia Barav, Kameda Rav, this is another one of those sad stories, you know, where Rav's son's tutor makes the mistake of trying to teach him something with Rav listening in, and that's always very dangerous. So here too, he says over this Mishnah, and he seems to say it wrong, and he says, instead of saying Omeid Adam B'Rishut Hayachid U'Metalto B'Rishut Harabim without any concerns, he says just the opposite. He teaches Rav's son Lo Yamod Adam B'Rishut Hayachid U'Metalto B'Rishut Harabim. Now, of course, that immediately got Rav on his case, and Rav said, "What the heck? What are you doing? Shavakta Rabbanan Vavadata K'Rabbi Meir?" I mean, it's true that there is a machlokas later on about this, and it certainly would seem that Rabbi Meir holds that way. But why in the world would you change the Tanakama over here into the Shita of Rabbi Meir? That is weird. So he told him, or he didn't tell him, but the Gemara explains why, in fact, he did this. V'hu savar, the reason that he was teaching that way is because since the Seifa is Rabbi Meir, he assumed that the correct Girsa in the Mishnah would be to follow Rabbi Meir's Shita, which is not true. The Seifa is indeed Rabbi Meir, but the Reisha is the Rabbanan. Now, what exactly the Reisha and the Seifa are, is a bit of a machlokas over here between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns that we're referring by the Seifa to a Mishnah later on, which we're not going to get to really for 3 days. Or 2 days actually from today. So Tosfos says, I mean, yeah, there is such a mishnah, but it's machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. But why would we call that the Seifa of this mishnah? I mean, it's pretty far away, because between there, here and there, there are a number of different mishnahs that come up and with different sugyas. So Tosfos says, he thinks that the meaning is that since in the end of this mishnah, we end up having machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and someone about the question of the spit in his mouth, so then it would seem that that someone, being it's always the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Meir. That someone is Rabbi Meir. And that would mean that we're just assuming that the someone in this Mishnah is Rebbe Meir. But that's not true, says the Gemara. Actually, there was a Shita that was the Tanakama here, which we discover later on to be the Rabbanan. And the Mishnah, as we have it, is correct, that there is not a problem of moving something from one Mishnah to another. Now, you have to be careful, says the Mishnah, if you do this, as long as you're careful, not to actually take it out of the Rishus and bring it into you, which is mashma. Now, let's imagine a case. You're standing on the roof. You're moving things around on the ground. And you did actually take it up to the roof from the ground. So then the mashmota of the Mishnah is, well, as long as you don't do hotzah, in other words, if I did do that, then I would actually be doing a normal hotzah. Now, when I take something from Rishus HaRabim up to my roof, I mean, I first have to go through a makom ptur, don't I? Because once I reach 10 tefachim above ground level, I'm now in no man's land, because anything above 10 tefachim is not considered to be within the Rishus HaRabim. So it means that I took something from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYachid, and I passed it through a makom ptur. Nonetheless, the Mishnah seems to be implying that, man, you better be careful about that, because if you did that, you'd be doing an actual hotzah. Well, if that's the case, then it would actually be a proof to Rava, as we've had Rava many times. The Omar Rava, somebody who moves a chefetz from the beginning of Arba Amos to the end of Arba Amos in Rishus HaRabim, and he holds it up so that it's in a Mokum Tur, so it's a Viro Derech Alavi, would still be Chayiv. So the same thing is true over here, because that's essentially what he did. That proves that Rava is right, if that's what the Mishnah says. It says the Gemara, look, you're going to bring a Raya from Rava because you jumped to the conclusion that, quote, if you did, you would be Chayev Chatas. When it says that somewhere, show me where it says that. I mean, it doesn't say that anywhere that I can see. Maybe the way to read the Mishnah is, Im Hotzi, you'd be over on an Isser, Bob. You wouldn't be Chayev. You have to be careful not to be over the Isser Rabbanan. And maybe all that we could say is that Im Hotzi put to Rav Alasur. As a matter of fact, actually, there were those who brought the Raya against Rava, because the Mashma'ut of the Mishnah was, as long as you're careful not to take it out of the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, what do you mean, as long as you're careful? I mean, man, you're talking about an Isser Skila. As long as you're careful? So isn't that more mashma that the issue is only that we don't want you to be over the Rabbanan, but then that would be a Raya against Rava, right? And in fact, the Ikedi Amri says that the mashmut of the Mishnah is that if, in fact, you would carry it up to the roof, you would be potter. In which case, this is a tiyufta on Rava from the Mishnah, because Rava claims that Amavir mitchilas arba l'sof arba aviru derech alav in a mokum tur, you're chayev. And over here, it's mashmi, you're potter. And, of course, the comeback is exactly the same. I mean, does it say that in the Mishnah? I mean, you jumped to the conclusion that imotzi potur avalaser. Maybe that's not true. Maybe the point is that the Mishnah is actually being matir this because we do not consider it to be a reasonable chashash that you're going to actually carry from the Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, up to your roof in the Rishus HaYochid. Okay, then the next case that we had is don't urinate or spit from one Rishus to another Rishus. Omer of Yosef, but how about if you did? So then, Hishtin Verak Chayav Chatat, then you would be over on a real act of Hotza'ah. Wait a minute. How could you be over on a real act of Hotza'ah if the din is that Akira and Hanocha, remember, that's the definition of Hotza'ah, is that it has to have an Akira from a place, and that place has to be Choshev, or a Hanocha on a place, and that place has to be Choshev, which means it needs to be 4x4 tefachim. I know anybody who's got a bladder that's 4x4 tefachim. So how exactly do we have a Mokum Choshev over here that you are ochre from? I don't know many people who've got a mouth that 4x4 tefachim, although, you know, they may talk like they've got a mouth 4x4 tefachim. But we're talking about actually spitting something from a mouth physically 4x4 tefachim. That is pretty tough, isn't it? So answers the Gemara, yes, but you know the deal. The deal is that machshavto mashulei makom. The fact that you need something and you view it as important, that is the equivalent of arba. Remember, it's not, there's no magic in the arba al arba. The idea of the arba al arba is that it has an innate chashivas in terms of an act, which is part of the din of malechus machshevas. Machshevas also means chashuv. And In this case, since you are definitely anxious to get that urine out of your bladder, then that means that you are being machshiv, getting rid of it as part of the chashivas of it. So the act itself is a chashiva act. And we know that this is true because the ilote ma'achi, if you're not ready to buy into this, I mean, remember we had the famous case before Shabbos that if somebody throws something to the dog, right? So let's say he throws a dog biscuit to a dog. Now, a dog's mouth is not arba al arba. But, I mean, the din over there is that he would be chayev, if it was over in the different rishos, or 4x4, or four amas, that he would be chayev. Even though it didn't land in a makam arba, we suppose he's trying to throw something into the oven, you know, and it's into the piyakiv shan, which is not 4x4, it'd still be chayev chatas. So wouldn't you ask on Rava, well, how could you be chayev chatas? Are you not necessarily need a mokam agabe, a mokam arba? And in this case, you don't have a mokam arba. It must be because that's what you want. Machshavto mashvili makom. It's not just what you want, as Tosis points out. It's what you need. In other words, this is your focus. It's not that, okay, you happen to want to throw, oh, let's see if I can get this over there on that ledge. And it's focused, man, that's not called machshavto mashva. But over here, it's important to you that it gets into the dog mouth. And it's certainly important to you that you get that urine out of your bladder. And because of that, it's chashiv. And that must be the idea over here. So it's machshavto mashvili makom. So here too, the machshava is mashvili makom. Now, the question is like this. Is this talking about your bladder or is this talking about your penis? That's the question. I mean, suppose you're standing in one rishos and all you need to do is you stick your penis into the other rishos. Where did the urine come from? Does the urine come from the point of exit from the body? Or does the urine come from your bladder and we view the rest of your body as being basically like a pipe in which you sent the urine out into the other rishos? So if we're going to look at it as it came from your body, meaning from your bladder, so then it means that you, Badavka, went and threw something from Rishos HaYochid to Rishos HaRagim. If we're going to view your body parts as the actual mokum of where the urine comes from, so then you didn't do anything wrong, because basically it's from the same rishus. So what would be the din? Mahu. Bata akira aslinan. So do we look at the place of the urine's getting out of its sac where it's held, which would mean the bladder, and therefore it would be considered to be an actual otsa? O bata yitzia aslinan. Do we look at the point of exit? Teku. That is actually not defined by the Gemara, and therefore halacha lemaisa, the Gra paskins, that when it comes to many situations, we would look at the issue as being, if it's a carmelite, which is usually the situation. Richie, this is very nogea the island, as you know. So the question is, if a porch is a rishus hayochid and the outside is a carmelite, is it okay to urinate? Now, this was basically a Shabbos daily issue. And according to the Gra, you can rely on the fact that it's a teku to be mekel on a derabbana. Okay, v'chein lo yarok, and Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it depends. Once the saliva is already in your mouth and you could feel it as a separate thing, it's not just that it's lubricating your mouth, so then it would be usher to actually walk with it, even if you didn't take it from one to the other by spinning it. Wait a minute, are you saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you do not have to do any kind of pu'ula in your mouth, which is called haficha? So if somebody wants to prepare something for spitting, he generally moves it around with his tongue, gets it into position where it's ready to get out of the mouth. That's called haficha. So now Rabbi Yehuda simply says, well, if it's in your mouth, then you've got to spit it out. Is that true that Rabbi Yehuda holds you do not need to be mapichba? Doesn't it say in the Mishnah, which it seems to relate to exactly the same issue, a guy is eating a dvela of figs, and he's eating them, but he has not washed his hands. Now, Rashi assumes that the figs that we're talking about over here are truma figs, and hands which are not washed are considered to be a sheni lituma, which min rabbonan, which is stam yadayim, that is posel as a truma. And therefore, the only question over here is whether the figs are now mukshel kabel tuma, because they have been chewed in your mouth and saliva is considered to be one of the mashkim. So if it's part of your body, if the saliva is still considered to be just not a body fluid, but actually a lubricant, So then it should not be able to be makshir. And over there it says like this. You stick your fingers into your mouth because you feel that some kind of rock got into a little piece of rock or splinter got into the devela. So you put your finger into your mouth while you're chewing in order to take out a tzror. So Rabbi Meir says, well, that's matame. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's still tahor. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, saliva in the mouth is simply viewed as a body lubricant, so to speak, and therefore it's not going to be matayer. Rabbi Yehuda, and this is our Rabbi Yehuda, he says it actually depends. But he does not say, as you would have thought if he's being consistent with what he says over here, he does not say if the saliva is in your mouth and can be felt as a separate entity, that ipso facto it's going to be makshel kabel tuma. Instead, he says, it depends if you're mahapichpa. Hipechpa, it's tameh. Lo hipechpa is tahar. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, well, oh, this is bad news. Mukhlefet hashita. And there's two approaches. This Rashi learns that mukhlefet hashita, in this case, means not what it means 80% of the time, which is we've got our shitas flipped, meaning between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because that would bring other problems. It means in Rabbi Meir. So it means Mukhlefet Hashita, Rabbi Yehuda has changed his mind. And he's come around to feel that, in fact, Rabbi Meir is right. It was Matami. The other Rishonim learned that it means what it usually means, which is that we flip the Shitas and we got Rabbi Yehuda wrong. But in any event, it's true. That is definitely not consistent, says Rabbi Yochanan, with the Mishnah and Truma. Oh, by the way, you should just know that Tosfos learns that this has nothing to do with Truma. And that because even if the Dvela was Chulin, and Stam Yadayim certainly cannot be Metame Chulin, but remember that as we learned in Kalim, and we had this in Kalim's Mishnah, as we learned in Kalim, the problem is that Mashkim are able to become a Rishon even from a Sheni. And therefore, if in fact the saliva is considered to be a mashkim, then the mashkim are chosim liot rishon, and the rishon would be metame the dvela, and the dvela is the chulin, and therefore it would be tame even if it were chulin. Okay, why Rashi has to insist we're talking about a dvela of truma, we can bezrat Hashem. Next time we get to Kalim in some years, bezrat Hashem. That's making a lot of assumptions, but hopefully we'll get to that again. Okay, so in this case, in any event, it seems to be inconsistent, says Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, no, it's perfectly consistent. The word saliva, you know, is not necessarily very, very clear. We're saying that he's got in his mouth, he's got something in his mouth. I mean, what exactly does he have in his mouth? So if we're talking about saliva, yes, that's one thing. But if you're talking about spitting up some phlegm, let's say, because the guy's sick, he's got a cold or whatever, so then it's not nogea, this halacha, at all, because that, for sure, is not considered to be a body lubricant. That is also something that he is immediately considered not to be part of him, and that needs to be spit out immediately. Mashenkin, we were talking about over there in Kalim, we're talking about that's talking about stam saliva. So over there in Achinami, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it needs to be hipechba. Is that the same as the case that we said over here? Is that true? Says Gemara. Doesn't it say in the price of Atanya? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kicho vinitlash. So if you have phlegm, then you can't walk in the Rishus Harabi. I mean, I'm assuming that that means also roko. Now, obviously, that is ridiculous. Something is wrong. I'm going to say it says kicho, but it means roko. That's nuts. So obviously there's a problem in the girsa over here. And there are, in fact, other girsos. And the other girsos read, as is brought by some of the Mefarshim on the side, the Tiktuk Sofri, kicho viroko, which means my lav, says the Gemara, kicho viroko shenit lash. Because if you put them together, it seems to be the same. We're going to treat roko the same we would do kicho. And the Gemara answers, no, it doesn't mean that. It's a reference, the nitlash is only referring to the kicho. Hashenkin, when it's referring to roko, it would require hipechba. Okay, so that would be the way that Reish Lakish would explain. Ask the Gemara again, but still Reish Lakish doesn't make sense, because the Brayta says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ki choshen itlash v'chein rokoshen itlash lo yalech arba amot. And here he says beferish that he's referring to either, and therefore there's a problem over here. No, yes, says Gemara, then it doesn't make sense. And indeed, you can't be mechalek according to Rabbi Yehuda, and apparently Rabbi Yochanan is right, and that we messed up what Rabbi Yehuda said, or Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind, and he used to think you needed to have hipech, and he changed it. Anyway, getting back to the point where Reish Lakish is referring to coughing up phlegm, so he says, if somebody does that, kiach b'fnei rabo chayev misa, somebody who would actually bring up phlegm in his mouth is what it seems to be mashma, and he makes a big fuss of in front of his Rebbe, is chayev misa b'dei shamayim, because it says, kol misanai avu mavet, those who hate me, they love death. This is the Torah who speaks this. And al tikri misanai ela masni'ai. He makes people hate Torah, meaning that if somebody acts in a disgusting way and he's a Talmud Chacham, so then he causes the Torah to be looked at with disgust. So then he would be chayev misa. Says the Gemara, I understand, but if we're talking about coughing up, then he's an onus, isn't it? I mean, kicho is not a normal thing. It's only if somebody's sick. No, it doesn't mean it came up in his mouth. It means he coughed it up and then spits it out. That's disgusting. So kiach v'rak ka'amrina. So he should have gone away to the side or something, or used a handkerchief or Kleenex. Anyway, we are now ready for our kapitan. Capitan is slow this morning. Lo, thank you. Lo yamod adam b'rishut ha-yachid v'yishteh b'rishut ha-rabim, v'rishut ha-rabim v'yishteh b'rishut ha-yachid, elim ken yichnis rosho v'rubo l'makom shu shoteh. So we were talking about ejecting body fluids into a rishus ha-yachid, or rishus ha-rabim from the other. How about bringing liquids into the body by drinking? What about that? So it says over here, you can do that, but not if it's likely that you're going to bring the cup where you're standing. If you put your head over and you've got most of your body there leaning over the water fountain or something like that, then it's okay. So you would have to have Rosh HaVerubo in the place where the water is. And the same thing is true about a gat. Now, you remember we've had this many times. It sounds like v'chein begat means don't drink wine out of the wine press unless mostly you put your head and most of your body over the wine press. But then it would be just a duplication of the first part. And we end up actually understanding v'chein begat to be a much more complex issue, which has to do with whether you're allowed to drink meiser. Can you drink from the gut without taking meiser? Because it's just considered to be a shtia aroi, which we'll get to in a moment in the Gemara. Okay, so now we seem to have a contradiction here in these Mishnayos. Because Reisha, meaning the Mishnah we just had, that we started this morning with, seems to be going aliba de rabbanan. You're allowed to move things around from one rishos to the other rishos. And then all of a sudden we come over here, and Rabbi Meir says that, no, you're not allowed to. I mean, because we know that that is the sheet of Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah later, as Rashi pointed out before. So it's sort of weird, isn't it? That first we say it's mutter, and then we say, well, you better not, because you need most of your body to be in the other rishos. Omer Rav Yosef, there's a big difference between things that you need, chafetzim shetzrichim lo, and that's Divrei HaKol. So Rashi understands this to mean that, look, there's a big difference between stam moving things around on the bottom from the roof, and, okay, I'm moving. I mean, but I don't particularly need these things. Mashenkin over here, I mean, you're talking about water. I want to drink the water. So over there, everybody would be made that you may bring the water up. And because of that, we need to be gozer, that most of your body should be over that water. Doesn't that make sense? That's how Rashi learns. So Rambam learns that chafetzim hatzrichim lo mean that what we're talking about over here is the type of containers that are valuable and they're important to him. So then if you would be moving something that's like this expensive pitcher or something that you've got, so then we're choshish that you're going to bring it up. Yes, it's not because of the water, it's because of the chafetz. If you're talking about a paper cup or something, So then why would we think that you would bring it up to you? Iboilu. So now the question is, would you be allowed to stand in a Carmelis and drink from Rosh Hashanah or vice versa, right? Either Rosh Hashanah. So is that, I mean, because that's two steps away. Because over there, even if you would carry it, you wouldn't be over on an Issa D'Oraisa. So do we insist that you can only drink if you move your whole body over it? Or like we're not so makbid over there. Says Abaya, look, it's all the same. Once we make that gezerah, that we treat the Carmelite as if it's actually considered to be a different rishus, then we treat it across the board. We don't make distinctions between what you're allowed to do in a Carmelite and what you would be allowed to do if that Carmelite were actually one of the other rishus. We give it the full din of one of the other rishus. So it's exactly the same thing. Ask the Gemara. So 1 second. I mean, Rava points out, I mean, he grew for gezerah. Why? What would be the logic of doing such a thing? So as I said, the simple meaning of why Abaya would say that is because it's a din in how we view a Carmelite. You should just know, however, that there are Rishonim who don't believe that, because there are many things in which we actually treat the Carmelite differently, and it's just a certain chumras in terms of being motzi from Arba, from Tchilas Arba, Sof Arba. So therefore, Taina, the reason over here may be, why would we choose to be makbid, even in a Carmelis, in this issue? Because we have a tendency to be makil. People have a tendency to be makil on the Inyanim of Hotzah. And it, as we know, and since Erevin is there in order to insert very deeply into the psyche the meaning of Hotzah and the importance of Hotzah, it makes sense to even be gozer that. That would be one approach. You notice I sort of slow down when Gavi's right in the place. Okay. So the question over here is, all right, as I was saying, there's also other reasons. The other reason would be because it's like almost without thinking, it's something that you would do. So it's as if we're saying, yeah, go ahead and bring it in. You know, that's how likely it is that you're going to end up actually carrying it. Okay, says Abaya, look, I'm not just making this up. I mean, it's clear that that's the case. I'll prove it to you. Take a look at the Mishnah itself, and you'll see that it's absolutely correct. Minah minala. I can show this to you from the rest of the Mishnah. Why do you think that the Mishnah says V'chein Begat, for heaven's sakes? What difference is there? Now, Abaya did not know that V'chein Begat might be referring to Meiser. So he took the case of V'chein Begat to be simply repetitious. So we're going to have two cases. One where you're over a water fountain, and the other one where you're over a wine press. Does it make sense that it's the same case twice? Of course not. So therefore, says Abaya, it must be that indeed, the first case was talking about Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashayachid. And the V'chein Begat adds that if you've got a wine press, which is a Carmelite, it would be the same din. So otherwise, what's the point? Rava says, yeah, that would be very nice if indeed V'chein Begat was just repetitious. However, V'chein Begat is not repetitious. The V'chein Begat is talking about a completely different case. And it's referring to the din of Meiser. And what it's saying is that in the same way you need to worry about the situation in terms of carrying on Shabbos as whether you're entirely over the area, the same thing would be true if you're worrying about whether you'd be allowed to have a drink of wine from a wine press without taking Trumas and Maisers. How would you be allowed to do that? Because since right now, it's still being processed and it's only the Rabbanan Asr even so, even though we haven't yet taken it out of the gut. But the Rabbanan only answered if you're drinking bikviut. So you're sitting down to have a drink, or you're taking it totally out of the gut to show that you want to have this drink of wine. But as long as your head is over the gut, so then it's something that you're showing. You're just tasting the wine. You're doing a little bit of wine tasting that they weren't gozer on. Okay? So then, and Rav Sheshi said the same thing, V'chein Begat means the Inyan Ma'aser. It does not mean in terms of carrying at all. And it is going on the Mishnah in Ma'asrot, which is talking about the heter to be Shotin Alagat. You're allowed to drink wine while it's still in the press. And this is true whether you put in and you will remember in those days, they were always mosaic with water. It doesn't matter whether you used warm water or used cold water to be mamazeg it. It doesn't matter. You would still be potter. So says Rebbe Meir, because the very fact that you're drinking it over the gut implies that you're not actually taking it and making it a kvias of drinking for you. And Rebbe Eliezer Bar Tzadok says, no. You are chayev even over the gut, because the very point of being mamazeg it shows that you're now taking it to drink for yourself. This is not just a wine tasting. Whereas the Chachamim say it depends if you mixed it with warm water. So then the warm water will make it impossible for you to put it back into the gut, because the heat is going to damage the wine and change the fermentation rate. You would never put it back into the gut once you used warm water. Mashenkin, if you use cold water, you could say, oh, I'm just trying to taste it to see what it would taste like. You would drink a little bit, and you could pour the whole thing right back into the gut. So there's no kviut in drinking something with cold water. And that's what it's saying, v'chein begat, meaning our Mishnah is the sheet of Rebbe Meir, that it's fine to drink as long as it doesn't matter, even if you were mamazig it, but only on condition that you have your rosh over rubo, over the gut, to indicate that you haven't removed it from the gut to make it permanently something that is shtia bekeva. That's the point of the Mishnah. Therefore, Abaya, you do not have a raya at all from here. And we have our kapitan, this time well prepared. Ooh, wowee. Oh.
Sorry, get in my old age.
Oh, I thought it was the sugya of coughing up, you know. All right, so the Mishnah says like this. Suppose you've got water that is running off of a roof. So remember that many roofs are made in such a way that you've got this long gutter pipe. The gutter pipe is basically an extension of the surface of the roof, and there's like a lot of places where water's running out into this gutter pipe. And then the gutter pipe, which is up along the entire roof, goes into a drain pipe that comes down the side of the house and generally lets the water out far from the house, right? So, koleta demina maschila lamata me'asara tvach. Let's say you're standing in Rosh Hasharabi and you want to catch some of that wonderful water. You've got this massive flow of water that's falling, pouring out of the gutter. So that basically the edge of the gutter, remember the gutters go on an angle, if there's no drain pipe, so they just, all the water just flies off of the gutter into the street. So then you would be allowed, if you're standing in that Rosh Hasharabim, you would be allowed to, either with your mouth or with a cup or whatever, you could just hold it up in the air and you would be able to catch that water that's falling from the gutter. And in this case, we're talking about if it's less than 10 tefachim from the ground. Now, we'll see the less than 10 tefachim from the ground is not necessarily talking about this case. It's talking really about the next case, because it doesn't matter in the least if it's more than 10 tefachim from the ground, because obviously the higher it is above the ground, the less it is in the Rosh Hasharabim. So it's an amakam patur. So why is that going to be a problem? Take from amakam patur to Rosh Hasharabim? That's not a problem. The problem is in the next case. So uminat sinor, where you've got a drain pipe. Now that's different. A drain pipe. Sorry.
Seems like a very inefficient way of.
Richie, are you trying to talk, or you just forgot to mute yourself?
Sorry, Rabbi. I'm in a bit of a, what do you call it?
No, Richie. We're on autopilot apparently today.
You have to wait about 7 minutes and then you can come back.
All right, that was very cute. So from the drain pipe, you can even put your mouth on the drain pipe. And because the thing is, if you would put your mouth up on the gutter, then that would be a problem, because the gutter is part of the roof, and the roof is Rosh HaYochid, and now you'd be taking it to Rosh HaRabim. That's a problem. But from the Tzinor, over there it doesn't matter, and over there you could actually, you'd be allowed to drink it even directly. All right. So now what it's mashma over here is that you can only catch the water, right? The water is flying through the air and you're putting your mouth open there. You're putting a kli there. And that's the only thing that you can do. But you're not allowed to put your mouth up against the gutter. Why? Reb Nachman, because normally a gutter, and that's the case over here, a gutter is within three tvachim somach lagag, so that it basically is part of the roof. And kol ha'pachot b'shlosh tvachim lagag has the same din as the roof itself, which means that the gutter is a rishus ha'yachid. And if you're in the rishus ha'rabim, and you're taking the water out of that gutter, then you would be carrying from rishus ha'yachid to rishus ha'rabim. And we see that, Tanya Namayachid, if something is within three tvachim of a roof or of another shus, has the same din, because it says in the Brayta, Omed Adam Rishut Yachid Magbia Yoda Lamala Me'asara Tvachim, you'd be allowed to raise your hand up as long as it's to a point that is less than Pochot Bishlosh Asomuch Lagag Vikolate, but you can't put your hand up against the actual wall, because then you would be taking it off of that wall. Yes. And Tanya Idach, there's another price that also basically says the same thing in the other direction. You cannot. Don't do that if it is pachot mishlosha samach lagag v'yitzarev, because of the fact that you would be carrying from Rishus HaYachid, namely the gag. Aval koleitu v'shote, you could catch it from midair, and then it would be okay to be drinking it. Okay, then you said you could drink anywhere you want from the tzinor. Now the Tana says, what about if the tzinor is 4x4? Okay, then of course you've got a problem. So im yesh b'tzinor ba'al ba'atz aser, because then you'd be taking it out mirishus l'rishus, because once it has it's 4x4, so then even if it's lamata mi'asor as it did of a karmelis, that explains finally why it is that we said you can't do that if it's higher than 10 tefachim. That's because of a gezeira. Because if it were 4x4 and would be actually 10 tefachim, you would be over on a deraisa, because you'd be carrying from Rishus HaRabi, a yachit Rishus HaRabi. That's the point. And so that means that that clause in the Mishnah, Espilamata, mi'asara tefachim, was inserted in order to make sure about this last piece, that if you're going to actually be taken directly from the drain pipe with your mouth, that then it would be a problem to do it if it was lamala miyasara. Not because there really is a problem at this point, but because in the event that it would be 4x4, then there really would be a problem. That's the issue. Okay, so now at least that part of the Mishnah makes perfectly good sense. Okay, I think we are basically... We need to do this too, right? Oh, shoot. I thought that we would finish here. All right. Well, we'll give it to Sir Richard. We're ready for you.
Hopefully this time it'll be a little more...
Bor b'rishut ha'rabi. All right, so now imagine like this. You live in a house. You've got a window. You look outside your window, and there's this nice water cistern there. It's in the rishut ha'rabi, and it's got this chulia, so it's got this lip around it, and it's 10 tefachim high. So you want to get your bucket from your window down into that bor to be able to draw water out of it, so that by the point that the bucket comes out of the top of the cistern, it's now lamala miyasar, and it's not going through a rishus harabim. It's going from a rishus hayachid, which is the bor, into your house, which is a rishus hayachid, and it's going through a mokum ptur. So the halacha over there would be that if you have a chalon she'al gabav, you would be allowed to be mamal ine menu bishabbat, and there'd be no problem. Same thing we drew. If you've got, let's say, an area, a heap of garbage that you constantly things are thrown onto the garbage heap, and it's in the Rishus HaRabim, and it's 10 tefachim high, and that means that it's Rishus HaYachid, then you'd be allowed to pour water out from your window onto it, because again, by the time it hits that area, it will be a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, and will only be going through the area Lamala Mi'asara, which is Amakam Ptur. So there's only one question, says the Gemara. How close is this bor to the wall of your window? If we're talking about that it's close to you, to your house, meaning it's not four tefachim away. So if it's not four tefachim away, why do I need to have the lip that's 10 tefachim high over the bar? Anyway, the area that's less than arba tefachim is itself going to be a makom ptur, right? Because it's not chashiv to be part of the Rishus HaRabim. So I should be allowed to take water from the cistern, and it goes up along the side of the house to the window in an area which is over a makom ptur, because it's less than arba. So why is there a problem? I don't understand. Ravuna, well, clearly there is a problem. We must be talking about a case where the cistern is indeed four tefachim away from the edge of your wall. So it's muflaget min hakotel arba. And therefore, you've got a problem, and you're dealing with the problem in a very simple way. It's because you have a lip around the bar, which means that the bucket is never going to get into an area that is over a Rishus HaRabim until it's 10 tefachim high, because the lip is 10 tefachim high. So therefore, time of the ikah chulya asara. But if there wouldn't be a chulya asara, you'd have a problem, because then you would be going through one Rishus HaYochid, namely the inside of the bor, to another Rishus HaRabim, namely the inside of your house, but you would be going through a Rishus HaRabim, because you wouldn't have the lip of 10 to bring the bucket out over the top. And that would be asara. Rabbi Yochanan says, nah, it's no problem. It could be talking about even if it is smucha, okay? And the water is right up, it's coming along the edge of your wall. And afal piken, we talked about the idea of needing the chulya, not because the chulya extends over the level of the Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't. And that's the point. It's there to teach you that it's the chulya that makes the bor a reshut hayachid. What? Yes, because it must be talking about a case that I'm being mitzarev, the inside of the bor and the lip around it to the asara, which was that whole question we had before. And gufa, that's what the Mishnah is trying to tell you. That akam ashron, that bor v'chulyato are mitzarev. And that's why it mentioned that case, you see? And then the next case was, you've got a garbage dump over there, you could pour water. Why aren't we afraid that things might change? I mean, people do take away garbage dumps, don't they? Didn't Ravim Baravada, Amr of Yitzhak, remember we had before a maisa with a mavui, and it was a mavui that was created by being on one side next to a yam, and on the other side it had this big garbage dump, so that basically the yam had a 10 tefachim drop, and the garbage dump was a 10 tefachim high, and put the two together, and we've got basically a nice mavui that is closed up, right? And they asked Rebbe, so can we rely on that kind of thing? And Rebbe refused to be matred. Lo amar b'lo isra b'lo heter. The reason he didn't want to say it's mutter is because he was afraid that if he would say it would be mutter, that people would make that the given situation. It's mutter. Even though it's likely to change, because maybe the garbage dump will be moved, or maybe the sea will silt up along the edges, and then you won't have a 10 tefachim drop into the sea. And so it'll end up to be a mavui without mechitza. So he didn't want to say it's okay. Maybe the yam will be ala sirton, but he didn't want to say it's usher either. Because, I mean, currently it has perfectly good mechitzas. So you see that we're worried about changes, aren't we? Says the Gemara, it's not a problem. The two cases are very different. The case of Rebbe, where he was afraid that somebody might actually move the garbage dump, was talking about a garbage dump that was owned by a personal party. So obviously a person may move a garbage dump. But this is talking about a public garbage dump. The public never gets around to doing anything. So you don't have to worry about the iriyah changing the garbage dump. Once it's there, it's going to stay there.